Attention, attention, this is history lost in time. And welcome to the April 1st episode of the History Lost in Time podcast in the year 2026. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de with a social media presence on Blue Sky and Instagram. Note for Spotify users, you can find the latest episodes on Spotify. For all episodes since the beginning, please visit Podcast.de and YouTube. The topic of this episode. For this special episode, I put the history books aside and ventured into the fascinating world of what-ifs. Today we are taking a relic over 100 years old, the pre-dreadnought battleship SMS Hannover, and virtually putting it into dry dock to make it fit for World War II. Those who know me know that I am not only interested in military history, but also have a passion for modern technology. That's why I have expanded my research team this time. Google Gemini, Microsoft Copilot, and Mistral have become my board of admirals. Together we devised a realistic upgrade plan for the Hannover with modern anti-aircraft guns, new electronics, and modern 15 cm secondary guns. But that's only half the battle. The much more interesting question is, would the Kriegsmarine have even wanted this ship? Today we are simulating what the great strategists of the Imperial Navy and the Kriegsmarine from Tirpitz via Scheer to Dönitz would have said about this historically nonsensical yet technically fascinating plan. Prepare for a speculative scenario that blurs the lines between history, technology and madness. Political agenda and background. None. And as I said, this episode shouldn't be taken too seriously on April 1st, but rather considered a hypothetical thought experiment. What I'm really interested in, though, is what do you think of this kind of format? Do you think the interplay with AI in this episode was interesting? Or that I'm welcome to experiment with such things, but should keep them out of my episodes? The sources that were used. Since this is a speculative topic, there are very few sources to rely on. For the technical data and development history of the Deutschland-class battleships, I refer you to episode 35, where all sources are listed. Let's begin by taking a look at the Hannover and the Deutschland-class itself. This ship of the Deutschland-class was built between 1904 and 1907 and served in the pre-war period and during the First World War. In the early summer of 1916, she participated in the Battle of Jutland, the largest naval battle of the First World War. After the battle, like all pre-dreadnoughts, she was withdrawn from the front line and used only for secondary duties. Because the German Navy was only permitted to use older pre-dreadnoughts under the terms of the Treaty of Versailles, the Hannover remained in service despite being completely obsolete. The German Navy operated her from 1921 to 31, after which she was finally decommissioned. She was intended to be used as a target ship, but this never came to pass. Ultimately, she lay more or less uselessly in port, rusting away, and was scrapped from 1944 onwards to obtain urgently needed raw materials. The scrapping was completed in 1946. Her sister ships Schleswig-Holstein and Schlesien continued to serve in the Kriegsmarine. Initially training ships, they also saw combat during the campaigns against Poland and Norway. In 1944, both ships were modernized for use as convoy escorts and for coastal bombardment. While the Schleswig-Holstein was sunk in an air raid at the end of 1944, the Schlesien continued fighting until the beginning of May 1945. This naturally raises the question, what if the Hannover had been deployed and consistently modernized like her sister ships, instead of being allowed to rust away? Would the Kriegsmarine even have wanted her? Would that have made any difference? Would it have been sensible? To put it simply, yes, the Kriegsmarine would have wanted her. Her contribution would have been beneficial, but not substantial. And her purpose would therefore have been questionable. The biggest opponent of this plan would probably have been the Navy's economist. Such an upgrade would have cost a fortune, money that would have been better spent on new ships. But all in good time. Let's start with the original configuration of the Hannover and compare it to the battleship Tirpitz to illustrate the dramatic difference between the old ship and a new build. The Hannover had a displacement of around 14,200 tons, a length of 128 meters, a beam of 22 meters, and a draft of 8.2 meters. Comparing this to the Tirpitz, we see a clear difference in class. The Tirpitz displaced 52,600 tons, more than three times as much. At 251 meters, it was practically twice as long, and at 36 meters, 1.5 times as wide. Its draft was also slightly greater at 9.3 meters, but well, that's not so important. Let's look at performance. The Hannover had triple expansion engines that ran on coal. The engines produced 17,000 horsepower, giving the ship a speed of about 18.5 knots. Its range was 8,900 kilometers, or 5,500 miles. The crew consisted of 35 officers and 708 sailors. Now let's consider the Tirpitz. This ship was powered by steam turbines that produced 163,000 horsepower, almost 10 times the Hannover's output. It also ran on oil, not coal. Its top speed was 30 knots, significantly more than the Hannover's 18.5 knots. Its range was 16,430 kilometers or 10,210 miles. The crew consisted of 103 officers and 1,962 sailors, more than twice the number of the Hannover's crew. What about the armament? The Hannover had four 28-centimeter guns in two turrets, capable of firing twice per minute and with a range of 18.8 kilometers. The secondary armament consisted of 14 17-centimeter guns, with a range of 14.5 kilometers and a rate of fire of 6 per minute. Eventually, there were 20 or 22 8.8 centimeter guns. Initially, there were also four 37 millimeter revolving cannons. The armament was rounded out by six 45 centimeter torpedo tubes. Let's turn to the Tirpitz. Here we have eight 38 centimeter guns in four turrets. Twice as many guns, and they are also significantly more massive. The rate of fire was slightly higher, 2.5 rounds per minute. The maximum range was 35.5 kilometers, almost twice that of the Hannover. The secondary armament consisted of 12 15 centimeter guns. The Hannover had two more guns, and they were also larger. However, the Tirpitz had the advantage here in terms of range and rate of fire. 8 rounds per minute instead of 6 on the Hannover, and a range of 23 kilometers instead of just 14.5. The Tirpitz also carried anti-aircraft armament. Initially, it had 16 105mm anti-aircraft guns, 16 37mm anti-aircraft guns, and 12 20mm cannons. Obviously, the Tirpitz was also equipped with electronics that were 30 years ahead of those of the Hannover, radios, radar, etc. In addition, there were four catapult aircraft. To put it bluntly, one would have to be more than just a little eccentric to want to modernize a Hannover instead of using the same dry dock to build a Tirpitz. Given the limited shipyard resources and building materials, modernizing the Hannover in the 1930s would not have made sense. I also asked the AI what Admirals Tirpitz, Scheer and von Trotha, the top brass of the Imperial German Navy, would have thought of the idea of keeping older Braunschweig and Deutschland-class battleships active and using them in World War II. As expected, the AI shadows of these three admirals made it clear that, to put it mildly, my idea did not meet with their approval. AI Admiral Tirpitz put it this way: "These ships are from another era and are utterly worthless for naval warfare against modern superpowers. They are too slow and their armor is laughable against modern calibers and torpedoes. The enemy will sink them as easy trophies. Training on outdated technology is a wasted investment. Training must take place on modern fast ships that teach personnel the current demands of warfare. Every ton of steel and every man tied to these hulls is a man less available for the construction of the Bismarck class or modern destroyers. As convoy escorts, they are slower than the convoys themselves and far too conspicuous. Coastal bombardment can be carried out more effectively by modern destroyers or battleships. The Schlesien and Schleswig-Holstein were exceptions that existed only because of the Treaty of Versailles. Their continued service is a sad relic, not a strategic decision. AI Admiral Scheer more or less agreed with Admiral Tirpitz, although he saw at least a little value in these ships. The idea of a stationary anti-aircraft cruiser is sensible, but only if the ships were free. The cost of equipping and maintaining them with modern 10.5 cm anti-aircraft guns is not worth the benefit. We need to build land-based anti-aircraft batteries, not floating targets. Their only value might lie as stationary storage platforms or harbor defense barriers. But for active service at the front or in convoys, they are an irresponsible danger to their own crews and the ships they are meant to protect. AI Admiral Trotha viewed the whole thing from a wartime economic perspective and made it clear to me that I would be wasting resources with this idea. Maintaining each capital ship requires enormous amounts of personnel, fuel, and maintenance capacity. These outdated boiler and propulsion systems are a logistical nightmare. The scarce resources of trained personnel and shipyard capacity must be available for modern submarines and destroyers. Each of these ships would require crews of 700 to 800 men who are desperately needed elsewhere in the Navy. They are personal drains with no real combat value. Operating the Schlesien until 1945 is an exceptional situation that can only be explained by the extreme restrictions of rearmament. Had we been free, we would have scrapped these hulls long ago and invested the resources thus gained in the war-deciding weapons, submarines and aircraft. So after receiving a proper rebuke from the three AI admirals of the First World War, I asked AI Admiral Dönitz, the head of the Kriegsmarine from 1943 to 45, if he had a different opinion. And here I got lucky. AI Admiral Dönitz had a different perspective on the value of the old ships.
Gentlemen, the fighting in the Baltic Sea at the end of 1944 was no longer a classic naval war, but a desperate defense of the coast and a gigantic evacuation operation. These strategic principles of Tirpitz or Scheer, which were aimed at the battle fleet, were no longer valid. The question is not whether these ships can hold their own against the British Home Fleet. The crucial question is, what do we need in the Courland pocket and off Danzig? We need heavy artillery support for our land troops. We need floating anti-aircraft platforms to defend against the Bolshevik bombers. And we need every available hull to transport our soldiers and refugees. If the Hannover or other units of the old classes had been immediately available without costly reactivation and without tying up shipyard capacity required by our Class 21 U-boats, we would have seized every single one of these hulls with open arms. Their value would not lie in their speed or their defensive capabilities, but in their displacement and carrying capacity for heavy guns. As stationary artillery batteries for coastal bombardment, the Schlesien and Schleswig-Holstein were indispensable until the very end. Every additional ship of this type would have multiplied evacuation capacity and given our land troops more firepower. My verdict? Yes, I would have commissioned them immediately. In the face of such a catastrophe, there is no useless battleship as long as it can fire or transport people.
Furthermore, he saw an advantage in the fact that the old battleships could be powered by coal. Coal was readily available, and there would have been no competition for fuel with modern destroyers or submarines. Accordingly motivated, I set to work with the AI and developed an upgrade plan for the Hannover after its decommissioning in 1931. The goal was to transform it into a training ship and emergency battleship that could support the Schleswig-Holstein and the Schlesien and, if necessary, reinforce the Kriegsmarine. Our joint upgrade plan for the 1930s included the following steps. 1. Installation of anti-aircraft armament. The ship lacked this. A whole array of 37mm and 20mm quadruple anti-aircraft guns would have been necessary to be able to defend against aircraft. 2. Installation of modern rangefinders and the Seetag radar. This would have significantly improved the ship's overall combat effectiveness, and indeed it was essential. In the 1930s, nobody wanted to work with the targeting systems of the 1900s anymore. 3. Conversion of the secondary battery. The old 17cm casemate guns and the 8.8cm anti-ship guns would have had to be removed and replaced with modern 15cm guns in twin turrets. This would have given the ship the same secondary battery firepower as the Tirpitz. It would also have created space for additional anti-aircraft guns. 4. The engines could have been retained, but the boilers could have been modernized for partial oil firing. This would have provided a slight increase in power without affecting the ship's ability to run on coal. Furthermore, this would have avoided a costly conversion to turbines, which would have essentially meant rebuilding the ship. 5. Torpedo protection could have been installed externally below the waterline. This would have provided some protection and also stabilized the ship. Otherwise, problems could have arisen given all the new deck equipment. 6. Installation of additional accommodations and lecture halls in the old casemates so that the ship could serve as a training vessel. If possible, installation of a catapult and a shipboard aircraft. How would this have affected the performance figures? Displacement would have increased by almost 1500 tons. Modernizing the engines would likely have resulted in a higher top speed, reaching 19.5 knots. The main armament would have remained unchanged, still 4 28cm guns. The old secondary armament would have been removed and replaced with 8 15cm guns. The anti-aircraft armament would have consisted of 8 105mm guns, 10 to 12 37mm guns, and 16 to 20 20mm cannons, meaning 4 or 5 quadruple 20mm mounts. The armor would have been improved by the addition of torpedo protection. What the AI says about our upgrade.
The modernized Hannover would still have been a very slow and vulnerable ship in World War II, hopelessly outmatched by modern battleships and battlecruisers. However, its large anti-aircraft battery would have made it very useful as an excellent anti-aircraft escort or as a floating artillery platform for coastal defense, comparable to the role of the Schleswig-Holstein. Its main role as a training ship would have been ideally fulfilled.
Would that have paid off in the early years of the war? Hardly. The value of a surviving Hannover would only have become apparent in 1944-45. Just like the Schlesien and the Schleswig-Holstein, I would therefore have sent her back to the shipyard for an overhaul and a similar modernization at the end of 1943, beginning of 1944. The objective this time would have been narrower: conversion into a convoy escort ship and improvement of her coastal bombardment capabilities. The following could have been done. 1. Maximizing the anti-aircraft armament by installing 40mm and 20mm cannons, imported or captured Bofors guns, if available. 2. Installing anti-submarine equipment, sonar systems, listening devices, and depth charges. 3. Modernizing the fire control systems for the main guns. 4. Upgrading to modern radar systems, for example Fumo 26 or 27, as well as Würzburg Dora. 5. To improve stability, removing all unnecessary superstructures to avoid compromising stability due to all the new equipment. Equipped in this way, a hypothetical Hannover 1944 would have been another 500 tons heavier, its speed and the main and secondary batteries would have remained unchanged. However, the anti-aircraft armament density would have been very high. 4 to 8 105mm guns, 12 40mm guns and 30 20mm guns. The anti-submarine warfare equipment would have been a new addition. What does the AI say about this final upgrade?
The 1944 Hannover would have been a fascinating but deeply outdated warship. Its 28cm guns could have provided massive support to the army on the coast, and its anti-aircraft density would have protected convoys better than lighter escorts. However, due to its weak horizontal armor and low speed, it would have remained an easy target for modern torpedo bombers, submarines, and any faster Allied surface vessel. It could only have fulfilled its role in areas with relative safety from air attacks or with heavy fighter cover, a true product of the shortages of the late war years.
In the Baltic Sea, the Hannover, just like the Schleswig-Holstein and the Schlesien, could have still proven its worth. The old 28cm guns and the 15cm secondary guns were highly effective in land warfare. Attacking aircraft and submarines would also have had to be cautious. There was no threat from enemy surface forces in the Baltic. The greatest threats would have been Soviet submarines and heavy air attacks.
A few finishing words.
I didn't release this episode on April 1st for nothing. It's not meant to be taken too seriously, but simply a thought experiment. We can't know what the real admirals would have said about this idea. We can only speculate. However, based on what they said and wrote, we can extrapolate likely answers, and at least for me, the AI admiral's statements seemed plausible. As a strategist, Tirpitz, mindful of the Navy's political role, would always have preferred new builds. Scheer, as a pragmatist, would have endeavored to find a role for these old ships that wouldn't be too costly. His right-hand man Trotha would have kept a close eye on precisely these costs. Dönitz, on the other hand, would have reactivated everything that could be reactivated from the autumn of 1944 onward. Had the real Hannover not already been in such a dilapidated state in 1944, one can easily imagine Grand Admiral Dönitz having her reactivated just to drop a few hundred more 28cm shells on the coast. Yes, the German Navy's decision not to reactivate the Hannover was perfectly rational from an economic standpoint. It made more sense to invest shipyard capacity in new builds. Nevertheless, I think this experiment was both interesting and provided some background information on the topic of upgrading old ships. I hope you enjoyed this April Fool's Day episode. Let me know what you think of this format.
Thank you! This was History Lost in Time.